Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, just because you're on a fixed income in retirement does not mean that your expenses are fixed. In fact, some of them might actually go down. So today we're going to explore why your golden years might come with a few financial surprises. Some are pleasant, some not so much.
Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Welcome in. This is Cruising Through Retirement. Kevin Brooker is here as he is each and every week. Kevin, independent fiduciary, 30-plus years in the business. Always one of my favorite ways to end a week, Kevin, is just sit down with you and just kind of see what's going on.
Hey, that is perfect, perfect. You know what? I appreciate that, Steve. And, it's always great to be here. And anybody that's paying attention to the markets these days knows feels like we can kind of breathe a sigh of relief after everything that happened in April.
Oh, yeah.
It got so turbulent with the tariffs, you know, tariffs off, you know, up and down with the amounts and all this. Unfortunately, we're still going through that. The courts ruled this week, three separate court actions, I believe, went against the administration, saying that he overstepped his authority and blocking a lot of those tariffs. They did not block the sector tariffs, so like on steel, aluminum, they didn't block those. But they did block the blanket tariffs and the reciprocal, what they called reciprocal, which were not
right. Reciprocal.
They didn't block that. So personally, it makes me think that the administration is, you know, what I feel like they've been doing the last 4 or 5 years is going through the law books, figuring out what laws they can invoke from the last 100, 200 years in order to do what they want. So I imagine they're going to go back and do the same thing and try it again and just cite different laws or use different precedents. Because that's what this came back to, is that they used something called an Emergency Powers Act, and that's what the judges came back and said that,
right,
you know, that doesn't apply.
Right, because that's something that's been on the books for, you know, hundreds of years, right? Isn't that the old one?
Yeah, it has. And one of the other ones they're using against individual countries is like citing some sort of an imminent threat or something. And
like the Netherlands are a threat.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like Greenland is a, you know, or Canada. It's a lot of BS, but the reality is that's what moves the market. The market is very event-driven and, you know, headline risk. And these days, that's the risk of our president putting out some dumbass tweet and rocking the markets. And that's what's been going on. However you want to look at it, good or bad, I think it's turbulent. I think it's reckless, and I don't care for it at all. But that's what we've got to live with right now.
Sure.
But I do think that the markets having come back, if you guys remember, I was talking about key support levels in the market being broken, which they were. I'm still not fully convinced, if I'm being honest, that we're back into a bull market. I still think there's a good chance this is a bear trap. In other words, a bull market upswing in an overall bear market downtrend. And so what we want to see, any technical investors, anybody that wants to know support or resistance levels, we don't want to see the S&P go below 5,700, all right? We really would like it to stay on a closing basis above 5,700. And if it can do that for another couple of weeks, then we might be, we might be out of the woods. But the thing that is over my head, which is over everyone's head, is these tariffs. Nothing is set, right? These haven't, he did that 90-day extension. They're going back and forth through different courts. I think our courts are going to be. I think part of the plan with this administration is to do so much so fast that it just causes chaos and disruption, and it basically stifles the courts and their ability to move forward because they got so much crap coming at them. It's like throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. So I think it's working a little bit. And I do think also, for instance, Goldman Sachs put out a report saying that they already came out with a report saying that, well, there's other things the administration can do, and they can cite these different types of things. And what what Goldman said is that by doing that, it could take so long to sort it all out that we could have the imposition of tariffs for several more months. And so there's a lot of unexpected things happening. I wish they would focus on the big ones like getting down the debt. The House, as everybody might know, passed it's not a tax cut. It's an extension of the existing cuts. But the problem, yes, I have with it, Steve, is that it's according to Congressional Budget Office, it's going to add almost $4 trillion to the debt over the next decade. That'll put us north of $40 trillion in debt. And if our interest rates stay up where they are, then our interest expense is going to go up 50, 60, 70% over the next couple of years, because a lot of the interest on the debt that we have right now was financed when interest rates were almost zero.
Sure.
So as the debt comes due and they have to refinance it, which every week they're selling billions and billions and billions of dollars in bonds, and the fact that our credibility on the international stage seems to have dropped, that's making a lot of people question whether the appetite for our bonds is going to continue, which is why also Moody's downgraded us a couple of weeks ago.
Right. So that was a big deal too.
It was, that was the last credit rating agency, he tried to say. That was the last one. There's three main ones. The other two, actually, the first downgrade, God, was 13 or 14 years ago. It was like 2011, 2012, something like that.
Okay.
And so it took a long time. Some people say, Moody's is kind of reacts after the fact, mm-hmm. Because like I said, the first downgrade happened, 13, 14 years ago. But now we have no AAA credit ratings, so our credit is at the second highest level. And just like an individual, if you've got stellar credit ratings and you go to get a loan, you get the best terms, right?
Yeah.
So as a nation, if we don't have this best stellar credit rating, then it makes perfect sense to me that we're going to have to pay higher interest rates. And that being the case, that's why I worry and am worried about Social Security and Medicare in the long run. So I think it's important that everybody realizes that, yes, we all like to hear about paying less in taxes, but how much debt can this nation handle? And if this tax package, they're banking on growth. It's basically like maxing out your credit cards, saying, I'm going to have a really good next couple of years and it won't be a problem. Well, we don't know that. Maybe. So we need to see north of 3% growth consistently in order for us to get out and manage this debt. And that's what they're banking on, is growing our way out of it. It hasn't worked in the past, so I'm very skeptical. I've heard the same arguments for 30 years, and we've got the highest debt we've ever had. So I personally think it's important to take a look at where you are and look back to April. And if in early April, when all this tariff chaos was coming out, if you started to get overly worried about your portfolio, if you're losing sleep, having anxiety, questioning whether you're taking too much risk, then chances are that you probably are. And so now, having rallied back, we've come back 18% from those lows. Having rallied back, this is a good time, because we're kind of stagnant here. We're kind of going side to side for right now. If we're going to retest those lows, it's going to happen over the next couple of months, in my opinion, because June and early July is going to be focused on what's going to happen to those extension of the tariff cuts. The extension of the imposition of the tariffs.
Okay.
goes to early July. I want to say July 8th or 9th.
Right, yeah, I think there. I heard that yesterday as well, yeah.
Yeah, so it goes until right around, and there's a question, what happens then? Right? What happens then? Because
that's
the thing
what I'm
is,
wondering.
Right? You know in the past how long trade deals took to accomplish? This years. This isn't something that they've ever been able to do in a short period of time. And so It remains to be seen where this all settles down, but the bottom line is that there's a huge amount of greater uncertainty now, and the valuation of the market comes into question when interest rates go higher, because investors are going to look at it and say, you know what, I can get a risk-free, almost risk-free investment in treasuries at 4.5%, almost 5% on a 30-year treasury now, and they're going to start to look at it. If the 10-year starts to approach 5%, then I think that's going to be a problem for the stock market going higher. And so, to me, it's a good time. If you felt nervous or uneasy about the market in April when it was going down, then maybe you should sell some of your more aggressive, risky holdings and invest into some short or intermediate-term bonds. I wouldn't go out more than 5 years, personally. I'm doing short and intermediate, and I'm getting, you know, you can get 5%, 6%, 7% on some of these right now. And they don't have nearly as much volatility as the overall market. You know, so if you're looking for double-digit returns, then you probably have to stick with stocks. But if you have aggressive stocks, you know, there's something called beta. If you're a stock investor, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you should know what beta is. And that tells you how much volatility to expect from an investment. To give you an example, NVIDIA. Most everybody in the stock market has heard of NVIDIA by now. NVIDIA's beta is 2, okay? So that means if the market moves 2%, NVIDIA is going to move 4, okay? It's going to move twice as much as the overall S&P 500 index. So if you've got a beta below, okay, if you've got a beta below 1, that's more for a conservative investor, because more conservative investors don't want to see big fluctuations in the value of their investments. So if you want to have you could downgrade your risk, not by necessarily getting out of stocks and going into bonds, but by reducing the volatility and the risk that you're taking with your stock portfolio and reinvest it into lower risk stocks. So if you'd like some assistance on that or to bounce an idea off me, just feel free to give me a call. This is what I do every day, guys. I'd be happy to help.
800-975-6717 is the number you can call, 800-975-6717, or just visit the website silverleaffinancial.com, silverleaffinancial.com. You can schedule a time to meet with Kevin right there. You can also find a lot of great information as long as we're talking about the website. That becomes a destination, at least for me, because it's constantly updated. That's what I like about it.
Oh, yeah, you know what? And we really try, guys, to keep the website updated with fresh content. Every week we put the latest show up there. We've got the last most of the shows for this year are still up on my website, so you can look back a couple months and see if I, you know, what I was saying then and see how it panned out. And I think it's a good way for you to sit back at your own convenience and see whether we might be a good fit. All right, that's why I do it. And the reason I scheduled the 10-minute phone call, which you can do right from my website, as Steve mentioned, you can go there. It's linked to my calendar. So by definition, it will only schedule you a time that I have available. And I will call you when you schedule it, 100% guaranteed. So if you'd like to talk, I say let's just talk 10 or 12 minutes, because I know in that period of time, after doing this for as long as I have, I know that's all it's going to take for you to decide, is it worth it for you to come in and sit down face-to-face and go further in depth. That's what it's all about. We want to have a comfortable relationship, because I'm looking for a long-term relationship, because those are the ones that I know work out the best.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, again, and you've told some stories. Last week was a great one, talking about a particular woman that you've had as a client since forever.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Anyway, yeah, that was a great story. I love that. And just look up last week's podcast, folks. You can hear it. It's worth it. Trust me.
Yes. Thank you. And yeah, you know what? And guys, one of the things I talked about last week is your advisor, your financial advisor, should be happy to help you with anything financial. Okay, he or she does not have to make a dollar every time you have a conversation with him, first of all right? Because you're paying him an ongoing management fee. If my clients have questions, you know, about taxes, about anything, really about car insurance or auto insurance, homeowners insurance, I don't sell those, but I still give him my opinion and I still try to give him the best advice that I can. In the case Steve mentioned, it was about a woman moving to an assisted living place. And I was helping them review the contract, review the paperwork, look over the facility, check it out from third-party sources, and make sure that it's a place that you can feel comfortable with your mother, right, or your grandmother being taken care of, right?
Absolutely.
And knowing that she's safe and that she's comfortable and she's well taken care of. And she has plenty of activities to do, too, by the way. You know? And one thing I could tell anybody, if you're looking at putting, you know, somebody moving into a facility like that, go there at least a couple times and eat the meals. Eat them ahead of time. okay?
Yes.
Because sometimes I've had clients that moved into a place. It was a brand new facility offering these, you know, great chefs and culinary experiences, and they said it was garbage. They didn't like the food at all. And that's the only choice you have if you're living at that place.
Yeah, that's okay? it, yeah.
That's it. So they were there 7 or 8 months, and they moved out. And so that's one thing that I do know is true. There is a big difference of the quality of the food and the meals from one place to another. So make sure you take the time to sit down, have your mom or your dad or your grandma or grandfather, have them go and taste the meal ahead of time. Make sure that it's something that they like, because that's who's going to be cooking all their meals for them.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I'll remind everyone as well, we're talking about long-term care in these situations, and Kevin has written a book called The Millionaire's Guide to Tax-Free Money for Long-Term Care. That book is available on the website. If you go in and see Kevin, he'll give you a copy. But again, that's worth the read right there. If you're going to be dealing with long-term care, that's your starting point.
Oh, by all means. And you know what? It's free. There's no obligation. And you know what? If you've got to pay those bills, you might as well take advantage of it and do it with tax-free money, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
Let's cut the cost as much as we can, because these facilities are very expensive. So we started off talking about being on a fixed income.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the unfortunate part is that your expenses are not on a fixed, you know, are not fixed.
They're not fixed.
Right? And even though Social Security does give cost of living adjustments, there's a lot of studies out there that show you that, you know, $100 from Social Security today does not buy you the same amount of goods as $100 did 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
It hasn't really kept up with the cost of living people experience. And so it's important that you have other sources of living. Remember, Social Security was only intended to replace 40% of your working income. That's it, 40%. You're supposed to have 2.5 times that income, right? So you should have an income 50% bigger from other sources, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're getting $2,000 a month from Social Security, you should have at least $3,000 a month from other sources. And that's the formula that they use putting this thing together. And so we want to make sure that you've got a steady income coming in that you can rely on, that you know is going to be there, and you don't have to worry about it. Now, some people are comfortable using the stock and bond investments, and that works out perfectly fine for a lot of people, as long as you have the risk tolerance and you're comfortable with the ups and downs. But you want to beware of something we've talked about several times on the show. You might remember the conversation, Steve, on sequence risk.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Right?
And that's a reality right now.
That's a reality right now. Guys, it's big. It's big. This is the most important concept to grasp if you're planning on relying on investments from the stock and bond markets for your retirement income. Okay? It's critical to understand sequence risk. It has to do with sequence of returns. And I think a good example is to imagine if you're ready for retirement, then you lived through the 90s, and imagine retiring in 1990 and you kept a whole bunch of money in the S&P 500 index, and then you started making withdrawals from that money every month, right, when you retired. You could have started with $1 million in 1990, you could have made your 4% withdrawals every year, and you'd have had more money at the end of that period than you had when you started. Now imagine retiring in the year 2000, keeping the majority of your money in the S&P 500 index, doing the same thing. You got $1 million, you start off taking your $40,000 a year, and the market goes down in 2000, down in 2001, down again in 2002. Now it's down almost 50% from where you started. So now if you're taking that same withdrawal, you're actually taking an 8% withdrawal, which nobody, no financial professional will tell you is sustainable.
No.
So that's why, and that would only happen, think about that, 3 years into retirement, your portfolio got cut in half, okay? That's why it's critical to have income sources that are fixed. I prefer interest. I prefer like fixed income, fixed interest investments that you can pull out. Remember, dividends are not guaranteed, okay? Dividends, they might have increased the dividend for the last 10, 15 years. It doesn't mean they're guaranteed to keep doing it. And a lot of times people fall trapped to a high dividend, not realizing the reason why you're seeing a high dividend on a stock is because their fundamentals are deteriorating, okay? They've got a high dividend because something's wrong. And that's the case many, many times. So be careful looking at these things. There are some investments out there now that have 9, 10, 11% yields. Be careful in thinking that that's sustainable or that it's high-quality investments, because if they're doing that, they're taking a fair amount of risk, all right? So you want to make sure you understand what has happened in the past, because it's likely to happen again somewhere in the future. What do they say? History history doesn't repeat itself, but oftentimes it rhymes. And I think that's what we're looking at. It does always feel different, whatever happens, and it is. We got different players, right? It's a different economy, different players, different backdrop. But some things are consistent. And so remember, there is an interplay between interest rates, how high interest rates are, and how high the valuation of the stock market is, you know, should be or is thought to be by the experts, because it's an alternative investment. So when the market, when interest rates were zero, most investors with money said, you know what, I got to invest in stocks. Where else am I going to invest and get in return on my money, right? But if you can get 5-6% on good, safe investments, a lot of people will take that all day long and not take the risk of investing in stocks.
Sure.
So when everybody talks now, there's a lot of talk about, oh, there's all these trillions of dollars in the money market, and that money's just waiting to come back into stocks. I have a big question mark on that one. Because I say, how do you, you don't know those investors. You don't know what their objectives are, their risk tolerance. You don't know that they want to go into stocks. Maybe they're just waiting for a higher interest rate because they think Trump's tariffs are going to raise, are going to cause inflation, which should lead to higher interest rates. So I personally think it's 50-50. That interest rates go up or down. I'm not convinced that interest rates are definitely coming down. Just like at, you guys remember the beginning of the year when everybody's like, oh, we're going to have 5 interest rate cuts, 6 interest rate cuts this year?
Oh, yeah. Boy, that all went away fast.
Yeah, you know what it is now? It's 1 or 2. And now they're saying, oh, but we're going to get them in 26. We'll get them in 26. And so that's maybe that's pie in the sky. I'm saying let's be cautious, let's be prudent, and let's make decisions based on what we know, not what we think might happen.
Yeah, that's never good.
Yeah, right. It's, I don't think it's a good formula if you want to actually keep your money, let alone grow it. You know, so going back to the expenses that go up and go down in retirement,
right?
You know, there's a few things, like, for instance, when you retire, if you commuted back and forth to work. You know, these days we do have a lot of people already working at home, so that expense isn't going to drop much for them. But if you had a commute, you know, however you got there, if you had to pay for parking, I remember, you know, in Chicago, Steve, I used to work downtown Chicago in the Loop.
Oh, wow.
In the 90s, right?
Okay.
And I remember in the late 90s, actually mid-90s, 94, I bought a home in the suburbs and I started driving on the interstate on I-55, which is a Stevenson. Traffic was horrible, horrible. And you know what it cost me? There was a parking garage in my office building, right? Because, I mean, you want to, I'll take an elevator, but I don't have to walk too far. And,
right.
And so I parked in the building. It was $300 a month to park in the building.
Oh, my gosh.
30 years ago.
Holy cow. What is it now, I wonder?
Oh, God, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a grand. But I don't know what it is now, but I'm just saying that's what it was then. And so I did figure out before too long, you know what, I think I'll take the train. One thing about Chicago, going into the western suburbs, they have a great train system. So that worked out much better for me. But anyway, so your commuting expenses, you go down. If you have a professional wardrobe, if you're a white-collar person, you won't have to, obviously you won't have to spend money on the wardrobe. And if you're a blue collar person, you're the same reality. You know, you shouldn't be going through as many clothes. You shouldn't be wearing as many. You're not changing as often. But on the flip side, maybe your utility expenses at home are going to go up because you're going to be there all day long, or not all day long, but you'll be there more, right? So maybe there's a little bit of change there. The biggest way I think people can save is by downsizing in retirement. I think because your house is generally your biggest expense. So if you raised a family in a home and now it's just the two of you, you know, maybe you can downsize and save money on your property taxes, on your homeowner's insurance, on your utility bills. That to me is the best way. If somebody is looking to move in retirement, lower expenses, that's the first thing I would suggest, is to consider whether it makes sense for you to downsize. And then if you pull out 100, 200, 300 grand, add that to your investment accounts, right? And then we can set that up to pay you income. And that gives you an extra source of income, too. So there's a lot of ways we could do it, but the key is we got to have a plan, right? So we want to sit down and talk about it and come up with some numbers. We want to come up with an income plan so that we know all of your income coming in, we know all of your bills, and it's important we include everything, right? The trips to see the grandkids, the gifts, the gifts for the family, whatever it is you want. If you want to travel, that's a big expense these days. So we want to make sure we include that in your income plan. All right. So you know you've got enough to travel, especially if you want to travel internationally. You definitely want to have that budgeted for. So we want to make sure that you've got those income sources. I will say that annuities are the only vehicle that will guarantee you lifetime income, even if the money runs out. No other investment account will do that. That's the reason why a lot of people like them, because of the certainty. They don't want the anxiety. They don't want to. The biggest fear for retirees is running out of money. Number one.
Yes, of course.
Biggest fear. So if you have income sources that are guaranteed to last a lifetime, that addresses the number one concern most retirees have. And so it's important not to think about it as an all or none proposition. You want to think about it as a toolbox, right? You got a hammer and a screwdriver and all sorts of different tools in there for different jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Annuities are not going to have as big of upside gains as the stock market in good years, right? But the nice thing about them is that they're safe. And generally, you can get higher guaranteed income from an annuity than you can from anything else, you know? But it's important when you're doing that to sit down and talk to a few advisors that have expertise in these areas, that are independent, that are fiduciaries, and you got to ask them, because half the people in this business are not fiduciaries, okay? And fiduciary is the highest standard available, and it's the biggest brokerage firms are the ones that keep fighting it and lobbying to keep it from being required, because it presents additional liability for them. So that's what they're concerned about. They're you know, that's the reality.
Let me just backtrack one moment. I looked up some parking in Chicago. Let's see. Averaging now, this is in the Loop Central Business District, averaging $427 a month.
Oh, hey, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Isn't that like a car payment, though?
Could be more than a car payment. Jeez,
right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and you know the other thing, when you talk to the insurance company and they tell you that, and you say, yeah, you work in Chicago and you drive to work, like, oh, okay.
Let me just double that.
Now we're going to add a surcharge onto that. Yeah, yeah, because that's one of the few places actually I've ever had my car broken into was actually in that parking garage at 680 North Lakeshore Drive in Chicago. That's not the Loop, but that's where we were before the Loop.
Sure.
And somebody broke in, stole all my sound. Was not happy about that.
That was a thing in the 90s, wasn't it?
It was a thing in the 90s. It's happened to me a couple times. When I was a teenager, I got in an auto accident, and from the time that I got in the accident till the time I went to the to the junkyard because they towed my car, guess what? Somebody stole my sound system.
Goodness.
You know, I'm like, come on. Isn't it bad enough I just wrecked my car, but you got to take my tunes, too?
Sure, yeah.
So, there's a lot of expenses out there, and these parking garages in cities are definitely expensive. But you know something that a lot of people hear the number on health care costs in retirement, and it can freak them out, and it did me, too, by the way. Because the companies like Fidelity will put out a study saying, hey, you know, a couple might need over $300,000 to pay for medical expenses in retirement. Now, what they're doing, guys, is they're saying, okay, let's imagine a 25, 30-year retirement, and they're taking all the expenses over the whole period of time and saying this is what they could add up to. And it's true. Now, it's totally true. It's your out-of-pocket, your prescription drugs. If you need long-term care, that is definitely going to be a big expense. And then remember, I think where some folks can get caught is dental care and vision care. Okay, those are generally aren't covered by traditional Medicare. Now they might be covered by a Medicare Advantage plan, but it's important that everybody understands the difference. Medicare Advantage plans are private insurance companies approving claims and approving procedures. All right, their disapproval rating is higher than you would have on a traditional Medicare plan, according to the stats. And I've had clients have trouble because they were in a Medicare Advantage plan, and then something changed, and they decided, you know what, we're dropping out of that market that they're in. And so then they had to go to a different company, and that's when you might have underwriting problems. You see, when you first start in Medicare, they have to take everybody. They can't rule you out because you have a chronic lifetime condition. But once you're in the program and you switch later on, then they can, okay? And so that's where some people can run into trouble. People like those plans because they often cite like a gym membership, you know, and dental care and other stuff. But it's important to understand, look at the details, because there can be carve outs in there or things that you're not aware of, you know, that you're being sold.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Kevin, you probably don't even know this, but I do a show on Medicare every week, and what I've learned is, and you're just so right in everything you're saying.
Oh, hey, I'm glad to hear that.
But again, I just think that there's so many subtleties inside Medicare.
Yes.
And you start to look at Advantage there's choices and there's choices that need to be made and if you're a couple, you don't have to choose the same plan.
That's right. That's right.
If you're in a Medicare.
Yes, and that's something else that a lot of people don't realize, because most of us are married to partners that aren't the exact same age. And so you sign up for Medicare at 65, right? And so unless you're born in the same month, you're not going to sign up to Medicare at the same time.
No. Nope.
And so you're going to have to make that decision as an individual. A lot of people go with Medicare Advantage because I believe over half the people on a Medicare Advantage plan pay zero premium. Nothing. They pay nothing. And so if you're at the lower end of the income or financial scale, and you need those expenses to be lower, than the Medicare Advantage could very well be the best way to go.
Sure.
If you're more affluent and you can afford to pay it, personally, I think traditional Medicare with a supplement and with a prescription drug plan, I think that's the way to go from my conversations with clients. And I think that it's important that you understand what you're getting into when you do it. That's one of the expenses that can be higher than people anticipate.
Well, you know, yeah.
Right? Your Medicare expenses, your supplement. You know, only Medicare Part A is free if you've met the requirements. You pay for B, and then you're going to pay 20%. You know, it covers 80%, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to cover your deductible, your out-of-pocket costs, things like that. And so there's a bunch of different types of supplement plans as well.
So Part B is $185 a month.
Okay.
And it's means tested, meaning based on income. So if you are a high earner, guess what? You're not going to pay $185. You're going to pay more.
Oh yeah, I think you could pay as much as $400 to $500. I think.
I don't ever want to learn that story.
I think you have to earn over $500,000 to be up there. But there's enough people doing it these days, and I got to tell you, I'm glad that they charge more to high income people.
Me too.
That's the reality, man. Come on. My dad used to say, which I never fully understood, you can't get blood from a turnip.
Right.
I'm like, what? You got to take the money where you can get it, right? You can't get the money from lower income people. They just don't have it.
Right.
And so if you look at our tax rates where they were 100 years ago and you compare them to now, we've basically got the lowest taxes we've ever really ever had since income taxes were introduced. Mm-hmm. So there's a limit to how low we can go, guys. And everybody, it's like the population demands more services and demands more things, but we don't want to pay for it. And there's a serious disconnect with people pleading for tax cuts and at the same time turning around and bitching and saying we shouldn't have so much debt and upset that we've got the debt we have.
Yeah, you got to choose one or the other here.
Choose one or the other, right? Personally,
and I would say get rid of the debt.
Guys, if you want to help out future generations, they should not be passing these tax cuts, and we should not be giving wealthy people bigger tax breaks, which is what they're doing. And this bill that was passed by the House, that'll add trillions of dollars to the debt, and it's really you're handing a big, big bill to your kids and your grandkids. So I hope they step back on that, and I hope they figure out ways to cut spending and stop adding to the debt. All right. So meanwhile, take a look at your portfolio, see if you need to make a readjustment, and if you'd like a second opinion, give me a call. I'll be happy to give you a second opinion. There's no charge or obligation. It's just a chance to chat a little bit and give you my thoughts.
Provided this for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosures thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial. He's been helping people cut through the noise to create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation. 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.